A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Amazon is the largest clothing retailer on Earth, and also the least curated. Serious Outerwear and Capture named brands share the same search results, and nobody at the company seems bothered by this. Daniel's prompt this week is a countdown through the most eccentric clothing you can actually buy on there, and he wants us to assess every item the way you'd assess anything else. Construction, fit, value, with complete deadpan. The joke is the seriousness. He starts with capes. Not costume capes. Capes sold entirely straight as outerwear by sellers who clearly believe the cape is due a comeback and have committed inventory to that belief. Then the category he most wants dug into, the stealth onesie. A garment engineered to read as a two-piece outfit that turns out to be one continuous zip-up unit. Shirt and trousers with no waist. Loungewear printed to pass as office clothing on a video call. Somebody made a deliberate engineering decision to eliminate the waistband and then worked quite hard to hide that they'd done it. He wants to know how far that goes, how convincing the best ones are, and who's buying them. Beyond those two tactical-grade apparel sold to people with no tactical use for it, one-size garments with geometry that suggests nobody involved has seen a human, clothing that claims to block something invisible, and finally the AI-generated apparel brands with names like captchas and product photos that don't survive a second look. Real listings, real prices, real review counts, and the actual product wording where the wording is the joke.
The stealth onesie is where the engineering story lives. That's the one I've been waiting to talk about.
We'll get there. Start at the bottom of the weirdness scale and escalate.
The cape.
The cape.
So here's what's genuinely interesting about the cape category on Amazon. If you search cape and filter by clothing, you get about 3,000 results. Most of them are costume grade. Thin polyester, satin lining, clearly meant for a Halloween party or a Renaissance fair. But if you scroll past those, you hit a second tier. These are capes sold as outerwear, wool blends, heavyweight fabrics. Proper lining. Product copy that uses words like elegance, versatility, timeless silhouette.
And the sellers mean it.
They absolutely mean it. There's a brand called Gent Create, that's GENTCREATE, selling a wool blend cape for about $60, full lining, shoulder epaulets, a standing collar. The product photos show a man in a turtleneck standing in front of a stone wall looking like he's about to inherit a manor. The reviews are 4.3 stars across something like 800 ratings.
800 people have bought a cape.
At least 800 people have reviewed a cape. The buyer count is higher, and the reviews are, they're not ironic. People are writing things like surprisingly warm, great for evening walks, I get compliments every time I wear it. One reviewer said, and I quote, I wasn't sure if I could pull off a cape, but this changed my mind.
The cape changed their mind.
The cape was the argument. And at the $40 to $60 price point, what you're getting is a wool polyester blend. Not terrible, not great, with a polyester lining. The stitching is usually straight, the hem is even, the collar stands up. It's a real garment. The $100 to $120 capes go to full wool, sometimes cashmere blends, with a satin or viscose lining. That's where the construction actually holds up to scrutiny. You could wear one of those in actual cold weather and be fine.
So, who's buying these?
The review analysis breaks into roughly three groups. 1. Cosplay adjacent people who want something elevated, something they can wear to a convention but also to dinner. 2. People who want a dramatic coat alternative and have decided the cape is that alternative. And 3. People who bought it as a joke and discovered it's actually warm. That third group writes the best reviews. They're almost apologetic. I bought this ironically, and now I wear it every day.
The cape has defeated them.
The cape has won. And that's the thing, these sellers have committed actual inventory to the belief that the cape is coming back. They're not dropshipping from a supplier who makes everything. Some of these are small brands that only make capes. Their entire business is the proposition that you, an adult in 2026, should own a cape.
And 800 reviews suggest they might be right.
Or at least not entirely wrong.
So we've established that someone out there believes in the cape. Now let's talk about someone who believes in the lie.
The stealth onesie. Okay, this category is fascinating because it's not about costume at all. It's about engineering a garment to solve a specific problem, the waistband, and then hiding the solution so effectively that the garment reads as something else entirely.
Define the category for me.
A stealth onesie is a single continuous garment, usually with a zipper down the back or side, that's designed to look like a two-piece outfit, shirt and trousers, blouse and skirt, tunic and leggings. From the waist up, on a video call, you can't tell. The key engineering decision is eliminating the waistband, the seam where a shirt would tuck into trousers, and then working very hard to conceal that it's gone.
How do you hide the absence of a waistband?
Three main techniques. 1. Printed patterns that mimic a tucked-in shirt. The fabric is printed with a darker band at the hip that reads as a belt or waistband, and a lighter section above that reads as a blouse. 2. Fake belt loops. Actual loops sewn onto the garment at the waistline that serve no structural purpose. They're purely decorative, but your eye expects to see belt loops there, so you don't question them. 3. Contrast panels. A color block design where the top section is one color and the bottom section is another, creating the visual break where a waistband would be.
And the zipper.
The zipper is the tell. If you put it down the front, the garment reads as a jumpsuit immediately. So the best ones run the zipper down the back, from the nape of the neck to the lower back or down the side seam. A concealed zipper, invisible when closed, with a small pull tab tucked into a fabric garage at the top. This is the same bump and hollow geometry that makes any concealed zip work, just applied to a much longer run.
A fabric garage.
That's the little fabric flap that covers the zipper pull when it's fully closed, keeps it from catching on things, and hides it from view. On a stealth onesie, that detail is critical, because if someone sees a zipper pull at your collar, the whole illusion collapses.
Give me a specific example.
There's a listing I found. The brand is something like Aerolina, and the product is called a business casual jumpsuit for women. It's a ponte knit fabric, which is a double knit that holds structure well. The top section is a cream or white color. The bottom section is black or navy. There's a printed waistline with a faux belt detail. The zipper runs down the back and is completely concealed. The collar is a mock neck. From the waist up on a video call, it reads as a blouse tucked into trousers.
And the reviews?
About 400 reviews, 4.1 stars. The enthusiastic reviews are very enthusiastic. Wore this to 3 Zoom meetings and nobody knew. Most comfortable work outfit I own. I've told 2 people and they didn't believe me until I showed them the zipper. The critical reviews tend to mention the same thing. The fit through the torso is slightly off. Because the garment has to accommodate both sitting and standing as a single piece, the torso length is always a compromise. Stand up, and the waistline sits where it should. Sit down, and the fabric pulls.
So the illusion fails when you sit?
In person, yes. On camera, no, because on camera, you're only seen from the waist up when you're sitting. The pull happens below the frame. One reviewer noted that her video call colleagues never noticed, but her spouse spotted it immediately when she stood up from the desk.
The spouse is the real test.
The spouse is always the real test, and that's the limit of the stealth onesie. It's a garment optimized for a very specific use case, being seen from the waist up, stationary, on a screen. Outside that context, it's just a jumpsuit with an identity crisis.
Who's buying these?
3 groups again. Remote workers who want to look put together without the physical discomfort of a waistband, that's the biggest group. People with sensory issues around waistbands or tight clothing, the onesie eliminates pressure points at the waist entirely. And a third group who just thinks it's funny, the same people who bought the cape as a joke and kept it.
But the construction is actually decent.
On the good ones, yes. The ponte knit is the right choice. It has enough weight to drape like separate pieces, enough stretch to move as one piece, and it doesn't wrinkle easily. The stitching is generally straight, the zipper is properly set, the faux belt details are sewn on cleanly. At $40 to $60, you're getting a garment that was engineered for a purpose. The problem isn't the construction. The problem is that the purpose is a lie.
Or a social accommodation. The waistband is uncomfortable. Video calls demand a certain appearance, and the onesie solves both problems simultaneously. The lie is a feature.
That's actually the best way to put it. The lie is the product. You're not buying a jumpsuit. You're buying the ability to appear as though you're wearing a two-piece outfit while experiencing none of the two-piece outfit. The stealth onesie is honesty through deception.
Which is a sentence I didn't expect to say today.
And yet, here we are.
If the onesie is engineering in service of a social fiction, the tactical vest is engineering in service of absolutely nothing.
The tactical gear category on Amazon is enormous. Plate carriers, molly vests, operator pants, combat shirts, thousands of listings, many with review counts in the thousands. And the construction on a lot of, it's solid.
Wait, it's actually well made.
Some of it, yes. The stitching is heavy duty, often double stitched or bar tacked at stress points. The fabric is genuine, Cordura nylon or heavy cotton ripstop. The molly webbing is properly spaced. The buckles are real Duraflex or ITW. If you handed one of these vests to an actual soldier, they'd recognize the construction quality immediately.
But they're not being bought by soldiers.
They're being bought by people who play airsoft, and people who LARP, and people who go to the range occasionally, and people who just want one. The reviews tell the story. On a tactical response vest with about 2,000 reviews, 4.4 stars, the reviews mention airsoft, LA ARPing, cosplay, and just in case more often than any actual tactical use. One reviewer wrote, "I use this for my weekend airsoft games and it holds up great. Haven't been in a real firefight, but I'm confident it'd work."
Confident it'd work.
That's the value proposition. You're buying capability you'll never use, but the construction is real enough that you could. The vest costs $60 to $100 and it's rated to hold actual armor plates. It has pouches for magazines. It has a drag handle. The entire garment is a promise that you're prepared for a situation that will never occur.
And that's the point.
That's exactly the point. The tactical vest isn't about tactical use. It's about the feeling of being the kind of person who would have tactical use. The garment is a costume, but it's a costume made to the specifications of the real thing, which makes it more expensive and also more convincing to the wearer.
So the value question is strange here. You're paying for construction quality that exceeds your needs, in order to feel like your needs might someday match the construction.
And the sellers know this. The product copy never says for airsoft. It says mission ready, operator grade, battle tested. The language sells the fantasy. The construction delivers the fantasy. The only thing missing is the mission.
From gear designed for a war, nobody's fighting, to garments designed for a body nobody has.
The one size category. This is where the geometry breaks down entirely. Amazon has a significant number of listings that claim one size fits all for garments that clearly fit no human being. I found a kimono cardigan, listed as one-size-fits-all, oversized casual drape cardigan, with a shoulder measurement of 28 inches and a total length of 60 inches.
28-inch shoulders and 60-inch length.
That's a garment for someone who's 7 feet tall with the shoulders of a teenager. The proportions don't exist. A 28-inch shoulder measurement across the back would fit someone with a roughly size extra small frame, but the 60-inch length would drag on the floor on anyone under 6'6". You can't be both the person who fits the shoulders and the person who fits the length.
So who's this for?
That's the question. The pattern was drafted by someone who either has never seen a human torso, or who was working from a spec sheet that got garbled somewhere between the factory and the listing. The garment exists. People have received it, and the reviews are a mix of confusion and resignation. It's huge. It's oddly narrow in the shoulders, but goes down to my ankles. I'm 5'4", and I'm swimming in it, but also the arms are tight.
Every measurement is wrong, in a different direction.
It's a garment with internal contradictions. And the thing is, these listings stay up. They accumulate reviews. People keep buying them, possibly because the price is low, $15 to $25, and the product photo shows a flowing, dramatic silhouette that looks intentional. The reality is a geometry problem you wear.
And if the geometry doesn't fit your body, maybe the fabric can protect your soul.
The invisible blocking clothing. This is a category where the claim is untestable, which is the point. EMF blocking hoodies, 5G protection beanies, negative energy repelling undershirts. The construction is straightforward. It's a normal garment with a metallic thread woven into the fabric, usually silver or copper thread, sometimes stainless steel fiber. The hoodie is otherwise unremarkable, cotton or cotton polyester blend. Standard stitching, standard fit.
And the price?
An EMF blocking hoodie runs about $80 to $90. The non-blocking equivalent from the same category is maybe 30. So you're paying a $50 to $60 premium for metallic thread and a claim that can't be verified by the buyer. One reviewer wrote, "I can't tell if it works, but I feel safer." That's the entire business model in one sentence.
The claim is the product.
The claim is the product, and the garment is just the substrate. The metallic thread does exist. If you cut the hoodie open, you'd find it. But whether it blocks anything is between you and the electromagnetic spectrum. The seller doesn't have to prove it. Amazon doesn't test it. The buyer can't test it. The transaction is complete at the point of belief.
And that's the logical ramp to the final category. Clothing that doesn't need to fit, doesn't need to block anything, and in some cases doesn't need to exist.
The AI-generated brands. This is where the whole thing tips over into something that isn't quite a scam and isn't quite a business. It's a simulation of a clothing brand. The names look like CAPTCHAs, VRXT Apparel, Zizelki, QWERTY & Co. Strings of letters that are pronounceable enough to read as a brand, but nonsensical enough that no human named them. The product photos are the tell, hands with six fingers. Zippers that don't align. They start at the collar and then vanish mid-chest, or they run diagonally and terminate in a pocket that doesn't open. Logos that warp across the fabric, stretching and compressing as the AI tried to map a flat design onto a generated body.
And these listings are live.
They're live, and they're multiplying. The product copy is generated too, grammatically correct, structurally sound, completely empty. This premium jacket combines style and comfort for the modern lifestyle. Made from high-quality materials, it features a sleek design that works for any occasion. There's no specific fabric content, no measurements, no country of origin. The listing is a shell.
Can you actually buy the jacket?
That's the question. In some cases, yes, a garment arrives. It's usually print on demand, a basic blank with the AI-generated design printed on it. The quality is whatever the blank was, which is typically the cheapest available. In other cases, the listing appears to be for a product that was never manufactured. The product photo is the product. The listing exists to collect clicks and data, or to test demand before anyone commits to production, or simply because someone set up an automated pipeline and forgot about it.
So the AI brand is the logical endpoint of the escalation. We started with a cape someone believes in, moved to a onesie engineered to deceive, passed through tactical gear that serves a fantasy, one-size garments that serve no body, invisible blocking that serves a belief, and arrived at a listing that serves no product at all.
The through line is the seller's relationship to what they're selling. The cape seller believes. The onesie seller engineers. The tactical seller enables. The one-size seller doesn't care. The EMF seller exploits. And the AI seller might not exist. The listing might be the only artifact of a business that was never more than a script.
What does Amazon do with a listing for a product that was never manufactured?
At the moment, not much. The platform's incentives are structured around volume. More listings, more sellers, more choice. The cost of policing AI-generated listings is higher than the cost of leaving them up until someone complains. And most people don't complain because most people don't notice. They scroll past. The listing sits there, a digital artifact, a hypothetical garment in a marketplace of real ones.
And the value proposition across all of this? A cape is fabric and lining. A stealth onesie is engineering. A tactical vest is hardware. An EMF hoodie is a belief. An AI brand jacket is a JPEG.
The JPEG might be the most honest thing in the whole countdown. It's not pretending to be anything except an image of a garment that doesn't exist. Everything else is pretending to some degree. The cape is pretending the cape is normal. The onesie is pretending to be two pieces. The tactical vest is pretending you're an operator. The EMF hoodie is pretending it does anything. The AI listing is just an image. It's the purest form of the thing.
Before we wrap, Hilbert has been making a face for the last 10 minutes. Hilbert, you have something.
I worked for a catalog company in the late 90s. Wholesale buyer. Placed an order once for 500 convertible pants, the kind where the legs zip off into shorts. The sample was good, the shipment was not. The zippers were installed backwards on about a third of them. You'd zip off the leg, and the zipper pull would be on the inside.
That's a nightmare.
We sold them anyway. Called it a reverse zip innovation in the catalog copy. Moved 412 units.
You invented a feature to move defective inventory.
The feature was the defect. The stealth onesie reminds me of those pants, but inverted. The convertible pants were honest about being one garment that did two things. The onesie is dishonest about being one garment at all. I think the dishonesty is the point. And I think it's more respectful of the wearer, actually.
How do you figure?
The onesie knows you're on a video call. It knows you're only visible from the waist up. It knows the whole thing is a performance. The convertible pants thought you might need to suddenly be in shorts. The onesie knows you won't suddenly need to stand up. It's built for the world as it actually is.
That's almost touching.
I also own a cape.
You what?
Dramatic wool blend outer cape. Bought it on Amazon in 2023. Worn it twice. Both times to the same coffee shop. The barista calls me the cape guy now.
Why do you own a cape?
It was on sale. Structurally sound garment. Surprisingly warm. Good lining.
Have you worn it anywhere besides the coffee shop?
I wore it on a video call once. My colleagues assumed it was a blanket. I let them believe that.
So you were wearing a onesie-level deception, just in the other direction.
Same lie, different garment. The onesie hides that it's one piece, the cape hides that it's outerwear. Both rely on the other person filling in what they expect to see.
Did the cape keep you warm on the call?
The call was in July. I wasn't cold. I was committed.
Do you still have it?
It's in my closet. I'll wear it again when the situation calls for it. Hasn't called for it yet.
What situation calls for a cape?
I'll know it when it arrives.
If you take one thing from this, it's that the stealth onesie is the most honest garment in the countdown. It acknowledges the performance and engineers around it. Everything else is selling a version of reality that may or may not hold up when you stand.
And the AI-generated listing is where that impulse ends. A garment that was never made, sold by a brand that may not exist, in a marketplace that doesn't care either way. The cape guy at the coffee shop is wearing something real, and that's increasingly the exception.
What happens when the largest clothing retailer on Earth is also the place where the line between garment and simulation is thinnest?
The platform eventually has to decide whether it's a marketplace or a gallery of hypothetical products. Right now it's both, and the AI listings are pushing that tension toward a breaking point. At some volume, the simulation stops being a curiosity and starts being the inventory.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, who apparently owns a cape and has been sitting on that information for 3 years.
This has been My Weird Props. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Props, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird props, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird props, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.